But the biggest key with trends is I don't rely on them. I kind of view a trend like a golden ticket or like a lottery ticket, where it might blow up, it might go viral, it might make me a millionaire overnight, but I'm not going to rely on this. I'm not going to just keep recreating trends for the sake of trying to go viral. And I think the biggest reason for that is that if all you're doing is recreating trends, people don't know the real you.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. We have someone on the podcast today that I have never interviewed, but I've wanted to for a really long time because I think that he is phenomenal when it comes to Instagram growth strategy, and that is Brock Johnson. Now, Brock kind of became on the scene. I mean, he's been on the scene for a while, but I feel like I remember him blowing up back in that 2020 era, and he really honed in on a solid and clear Instagram strategy to grow hundreds of thousands of followers there, and then he did the same thing over on TikTok. And so today, Brock is on the podcast to share Instagram strategies that are not only foundational and stand the test of time, but what's really happening and hot right now to move the needle. We not only talk about Instagram, but we talk about TikTok as well. So you're going to be getting some really good juicy tidbits on strategy, on trends, and on content how-to make sure that you're staying on the tip of the arrow with what is to come. So if you are wanting to grow on Instagram or grow on TikTok, you are going to love today's episode. And with that, let's get started with Brock. Hey, Brock.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited that you're here. This is going to be a fun conversation. You and I have been following each other for a while. We've gotten to talk offline about some fun things. I really think that this conversation is going to be so beneficial, especially to this audience, because I know them so well. And I know that when it comes to building a social media presence and really making sure to stand out in a way that feels aligned, but also strong on Instagram and on TikTok is huge for them. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be diving into all of that and how that really parlays into a lot of things. And I know that not only do you have personal experience growing your personal brand online and you share a wealth of that, but you also now coach other people how to do that. And so That's what we're going to be diving into to all the things. So my first question to you out of the gate is Instagram 2024. How is the landscape? And we're kind of lucky because by the time this airs, we're still going to be in Q1 of 2024. So we got the rest of the year to really capitalize. So how is Instagram 2024 looking different than all the previous years of Instagram? And what are some of the things that you believe that creators really need to be looking out for when it comes to content creation and growth?
Totally. So great question. And I think that I can start off by saying, there has never been more of an equal playing field or an equal opportunity on Instagram than there is right now. And that sounds kind of maybe counterintuitive or surprising to a lot of people, because I can also say confidently, it is tough to grow right now. And a lot of people have experienced a big drop in views, but that drop in views actually relates to why the playing field's kind of been leveled. So this started to happen in 2023, and it's definitely in place now in 2024. And that is that Reels views have significantly decreased. On average, they've gone down by 76% across the board, which is crazy. Like, that's a massive drop in views. But the reason for that is that Instagram is giving more reach to photos and carousels than they were in 2021 and 2022. Basically, Instagram became like super hyper dominated with Reels. They wanted to compete with TikTok. And they got a lot of pushback from people who were like, what happened to photos? What happened to carousels? What happened to everything besides these trending Reels? And so it's really balanced out the playing field. And actually, carousels now have a higher average engagement rate than Reels, which is very surprising to a lot of people. So that's the first thing I will say, is no matter what kind of content you create, videos, as in like Reels, photos, carousels, infographics, text posts, you can have success on Instagram. I think one of the biggest changes that's happening, I think this is a great change, is it's what I'm calling the YouTubeification of Instagram. And for people who aren't familiar with growing over on YouTube, it's a lot less gimmicky than Instagram can often feel. Instagram can often feel like there's always these new like hacks and trends, and you need to do this 1 second text post. You need to do this 4 second reel that has a hook and then tells people to read the caption. And then it's a 19 paragraph caption. You need to try this new trick basically to trick the algorithm. That's not as common on YouTube. Where on YouTube, it's more like if you can create engaging content that is keeping people watching the entire video, then you're going to be rewarded for that. And there are absolutely principles to keep in mind. There are absolutely, just like on YouTube, where there's the thumbnail and the title and SEO, that sort of thing. There's definitely principles to keep in mind that make posts more engaging and less engaging on Instagram. But what I think is exciting is these little like hacks that you have to keep up with and these little gimmicks that have been working on Instagram over the last few years, they're going to be a lot less effective in 2024. And really the biggest one, if I can just conclude by saying this, the biggest one that I think is going away is the one I mentioned a moment ago, where it's like a 4 or 5 second video. There's a super engaging hook that pops up on the screen and then it just says, read the caption. And the reason I think that's going away is, first and foremost, let me say, it's super effective right now. It's hard to scroll through reels without seeing a dozen of those. But the reason I say it's going away is that when I'm polling my audience, when I'm listening to people, when I'm speaking on stage and asking people about this specific kind of post, people are annoyed by it because they're like, it feels clickbaity. It feels gimmicky. It feels like I'm being tricked or gamified into reading this long caption, which oftentimes the long caption itself feels drawn out and over the top long just for the sake of being long. And so I think that trend is going to be going away. And what's going to be replacing it is instead direct to camera, longer form videos where people can be more authentic. They can be more like themselves. They can share more of their personality and their unique brand. And they don't have to worry about conforming to whatever the latest trending audio or the latest lip sync is.
And that's what I was like, what I was hearing you say is, okay, well, if it's not this, then it must be long form content is what we're stepping into, because that's really mm-hmm. the antithesis of that. And I loved what you said about the long captions, that sometimes those captions, they remind me of if you ever want to go get a recipe to a blog and it's like you have to read a novel of stuff that does not
make sense. Oh my gosh. That's the best analogy I've ever heard for this. Like, it's spot on. It's you go to click on a recipe blog and you have to read a 17 page backstory on how their great grandma was from Italy.
Yeah, I'm like, I just want to know how to bake the oatmeal raisin cookies. Like,
exactly. Where's the recipe? Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah, so it does. It reminds me of that. And you're right. It's so clickbaity. I actually saw on a post last night that I was looking at, it was a recipe post, and she was making these good for you Twix bars, basically. I have a sugar mm-hmm. tooth, so I'm going to reference a lot of sweet stuff here. But I was like, okay, I'm cool with commenting a word and getting the recipe in my DM. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But no, you had to comment a word and then get the thing and then go to the blog. And I was like, this is just too many steps. We got to simplify it. So with that, when it comes to this idea of less is more, simplification, you also brought the engagement piece of like direct to camera, let's really connect here, and that long form content. What are some ways that we can start to pivot into this? If you have any tips or strategies to share on how do we kind of bring back, honestly, before you get there, someone may not understand what we mean by long form content. So maybe you can explain that first and then start giving some tips about how we can start to like gently pivot more into that direction.
Totally. So I don't draw like a distinct line between what is short form and what is long form. The way I kind of differentiate them in my mind is short form are usually like, let's say 12 seconds or less. It usually has a pre-existing audio added to it, whether it's a trending audio or a song or a lip sync. And it's just a super short little clip. That's usually what I describe as short form content. Like when you think of the stereotype of what most people think of for TikTok, especially what was true on TikTok in 2021 and 2022, it's this, right? It's the super short video. Whereas long form, oftentimes people think of long form as like a 45 minute YouTube video or a podcast like we're doing today. But really on Instagram and on TikTok, I count long form as anything that's more than 12 seconds, but usually it's getting up into that, you know, 30, 40, even up to on Instagram, you can go up to 90 seconds. I will say there are rumors that Instagram is working on even longer reels, allowing us to post more than a minute and a half. I think that's probably going to happen in 2024, but that even tells us where Instagram's focus is. They want us to be creating these longer videos where we're just kind of sharing more value, more in-depth, more storytelling, rather than just kind of a quick grab your attention and then direct you to the caption, or a quick grab your attention and then that's kind of it.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow, if you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you, if you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams, and of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details. This kind of leads to my next question about the evolution of trends a little bit. I was actually just talking to a client of mine 2 days ago that was asking me, she has a food photography course. And she goes, you know, she's about to create a module for videos and reels. And she's like, people just keep asking. She goes, so should I get rid of the photography side? Because that's not really, and I'm like, no, it's going to come back and it will come back because that's what happens with trends. So I would love to hear from your own experience when it comes to trends, how we need to navigate the difference between a sticky kind of trend and maybe we get lucky with something going viral versus sustainability. Because I know that you've been able to grow on multiple platforms, very, very big, very consistent, which ain't easy. So the strategy that you use clearly works. And I know that there's probably a mix in of like, yeah, there's going to be trendy things that we want to capitalize on if and when it makes sense, but there's also a foundation that remains. And so I would love to hear what that is for you and from your own experience of how you've been able to grow, but the takeaways that our listeners can kind of really pull from that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the trends will always come and go. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with what you were saying towards the end, which is I'll throw them in every once in a while if there's something that's really blowing up or really popular, and this is the key, and I feel like it relates to my niche or I can relate it to something that my audience would like to see, yeah, then I'll recreate it. When sometimes you catch a trend early and you have success, sometimes it's just that popular of a trend. People are really enjoying that kind of thing and it really blows up and you have a lot of success with it. But the biggest key with trends is I don't rely on them. I kind of view a trend like a golden ticket or like a lottery ticket where it might blow up, it might go viral, it might make me a millionaire overnight, but I'm not going to rely on this. I'm not going to just keep recreating trends for the sake of trying to go viral. And I think the biggest reason for that is that if all you're doing is recreating trends, people don't know the real you. They might relate to your humor. They might think you're funny or think that you have, you know, a good thought here or there relating to whatever topic, but they don't know the real you. And so to kind of answer your second question about the overarching strategy, I would define it as niche. I know you often use the word brand to describe this idea that is, who are you at its core, right? Like, what is your story? What is your unique value proposition that you can bring to social media? And that is what all of my posts relate to. And that is what I have crystal clear in my mind. Like, I know exactly how I'm helping people. And I know who the people are. Like, I don't just say I'm helping everyone. I know exactly who I'm trying to help. And so I can figure out much easier, will she, and it is a woman, will she find this meme, this trend relatable and funny? Should I even do this trend? Or should I just kind of let this one pass? Because at the end of the day, again, it's not really going to make or break my overall strategy. I know what I'm presenting. I know what I'm sharing. I know what I'm bringing. And so I just keep bringing that in different styles and different formats and showing up, sharing the exact same message in slightly different ways every single day. And that's how you can kind of stay consistent without having to bank on every single trend to make up for your growth and your engagement.
Yeah, it's a great takeaway. And I want to get to TikTok in a moment, but first specifically with Instagram, I want to hear a little bit more about how you've been able to do this yourself, kind of like how you built this.
Totally.
Because you have been able to consistently grow. You have been able to defy probably moments when people love to use the excuses like the algorithm shadow banning me and, you know, it's knocking at my door and wanting to like burn my house down. And like, it's this problem, it's that problem. So instead of looking to all the external excuses. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
What are some ways from your own journey of growth, did looking back on it now, really move the needle for you and really helped you grow, not only in a short form, like I would love mm-hmm. to hear if there were moments that like, hey, this thing popped off, but also that long form trajectory?
Totally. Great question. Let's backtrack. I'll take you through kind of the entire growth and kind of what I've learned along the way. So I first started coaching people with Instagram in, I believe it was 2017. And from 2017 through 2020, I was very slowly growing. During that time, I think I grew from, you know, brand new account to around, let's say 20,000, 30,000 followers over the course of 4 or 5 years. And it was a slow growth, definitely. And I think the biggest reason for that slow growth is I was catering to my pre-existing audience quite often. And this is a problem that I think a lot of people run into, is they're like, okay, I'm going to use this Instagram account to build my business or to grow my brand or whatever. But they're like, well, but I still want to cater to Aunt Susie who follows me. Well, I still have all these friends who follow me and I want to make sure they see my cute outfit, or I want to make sure they see me out on date night, or I want to make sure they are impressed by X, Y, and Z. And so for a few years, I would do the occasional post about Instagram growth. And then I would do a post about me playing football with a Drake lyric in the caption. And then I would do a post of like me with my boys and we're taking like a swaggy picture. And then I would do a random tip about Snapchat. And then I would do some super cheesy, generic copy and paste quote with, I remember this one post specifically of like this gold lettering, and it was like the most generic quote of all time. And I was like, entrepreneurship, that's going to be my thing. But really, the reason for my slow growth is, yes, I was providing value, but I was also catering to different audiences, one of which, my friends and family, love them to death. They're never going to be my ideal customers, right? Like, I hope they're good enough family and friends to buy my stuff, but that's not who I'm trying to cater to. That's not who I'm trying to grow with. And then even within my business posts, there was no clear direction, right? Sometimes it was Instagram. Sometimes it was Snapchat. Sometimes it was random entrepreneurship quotes. So there was no clear direction. Then in 2020, I was like, okay, I'm going to start taking this a lot more seriously. And I'm going to move to more of like an 80-20 or even a 90-10 rule, where 80 to 90% of my posts were about just growing on Instagram. So I cut out all the other socials, I cut out entrepreneurship, and I was just focused on growing on Instagram, not even sales on Instagram, not getting more engagement, just growing your Instagram. And then I would like sprinkle in the occasional post of like me and my then girlfriend, now wife, or something like that, but pretty much just Instagram tips. Then August of 2020 rolls around and Instagram rolls out Instagram Reels. And at that time, I was already pretty big on TikTok. I think I had 200,000 or 300,000 followers on TikTok at that time. So I was like, let me just take some of my TikToks and post them on Instagram. And they didn't do that well. But then I was like, what if I start posting Instagram growth tips as Reels? And they started to do a lot better. They started to pick up some traction. And then April 1st of 2021, this is like the biggest turning point in my Instagram growth. At that stage, I could consistently post about once a day, like maybe 5, 6, 7 posts a week, about once a day to my feed. But I was going to challenge myself for the next 30 days. So April 1st to the end of April 2021, I'm going to post one reel a day. So that's at least one post a day, but also I was going to keep up with the other posts that I was going to have, you know, the photos and the carousel. So it was really more like 1.5, sometimes 2 posts a day, that sort of thing. And the growth in that period was all I needed to see. At the end of 30 days, I had grown from about 65,000 to over 100,000. So I had grown by like 30 or 40,000 followers in those initial 30 days. And I was like, this is working. But the reason I think I had that success, yes, I can't discredit that, you know, it was early to the stage of Reels. No one was being that consistent with Reels at that time. No one was posting as frequently at that time. It wasn't a big deal to, you know, post a reel a day yet. No one really knew about it. Yes, all that is true. But also the growth came because I challenged myself to get outside my comfort zone. Not to get philosophical or cheesy here, but in life, growth comes when we push ourselves a little bit outside of our comfort zone, right? Like I could consistently post one post a day. What if I dialed that up a little bit more and I did one reel a day plus all of those additional posts that I was planning on sharing anyways? And so then I'm at 100K. I experienced an early win, which is, I think, a key that a lot of people who have success in any field oftentimes experience is something early that motivates them to keep going. And it might even be an early loss, like an early tragedy or setback that kind of motivates you to double down. But for me, it was an early win. And again, I say early, it was like 4 or 5 years into my journey at this point, but I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And here we are. I think I'm at like 1,038 days later, and I'm still posting at least one reel every single day, in addition to whatever other carousels or photos or graphics that I have planned for that day. And the growth since then has been pretty consistent. There's definitely been waves where, hey, this month was 50,000 new followers, this month was 15,000 new followers, but it's still been pretty consistent. And now I'm close to 700K on Instagram, and I've just kept marching along, kept the train rolling with about, I think I average about 2.3 posts a day to my feed on Instagram.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so much to unpack there. For one, I want to chat about the idea. I'm like, which way do I want to go first? I want to chat about the idea of the amount of posting, because I know, and I'm sure you hear this too, a massive challenge that people have is just the breadth of content creation that they have to make. There can be people out there that are just naturally, they're like good at whipping stuff up and they can do it pretty fast. And then there's other people that it's going to take more time, but I don't care what side of that you land on. Creating content every day, it is a formula. It is a system. There's boundaries, there's management, there's time, there's all those things that go into it. So with that to say, what are some ways in which you support, or do you have any strategies and ways to underwhelm this process? Specifically, I'm going to give the idea of like repurposing content.
Totally.
What is your take on that? Or do you probably have other strategies that I'm not even thinking about? But when I think about the content creation, it's like, okay, if I can't do two a day and I'm just trying to get one a day, how do I make this as easy on myself as possible to actually do?
Yeah, totally. Such a great question. So, and this is also relates kind of to that story. So from April 1st, 2021, through maybe the end of that year, even into 2022, I was making posts every single day. Granted, this is my full, I always add this disclaimer, like, this is my full-time job. I do not have children, X, Y, and Z. I usually say I don't have children twice when I post about this, and people think it's hilarious that I include that twice. But yeah, it's true, right? Like, all of these context clues are important. But even for me, doing this as a full-time job without children, creating new content every single day was draining. It was tiring. It was something that was leading not necessarily to burnout, but to lack of creativity, lack of excitement, and a feeling of just like daily stress of like, oh, gotta create a post for tomorrow. So I've since then put a lot of systems in place where now I create content 2, maybe 3 days a month, and that's it. I'm now at a place where we can kind of fast forward to the end of this story where I have a full-time editor. I brought her on in January of 2023. So she's been with me for about a year, a little over a year now. She edits all my reels, all my like direct-to-camera reels. And the reason I did that is because I'm not a super fast editor and I'm not an expert editor. I enjoy video editing. It's actually something that I like doing. And I think I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not an expert and I'm not fast. So I knew if I outsourced that to someone else, I would have more time to create content, which is my zone of genius, which is something that I'm good at, which is something that only I can do, unless I was going to like hire someone to create user-generated content for me, something that only I can do. So I hired an editor, so she now edits all my content. I have a community manager who is someone who I brought on very early in my growth, really only about 6 months into my growth, to start responding to comments and answering direct messages. I absolutely do a lot of that myself, but it's really helpful to have someone else who can help me respond to all of those messages and just keep my audience engaged and feeling more like a community than just a group of followers. And I also have a designer for graphic design because I'm terrible to this day at graphic design. I can understand, like I can see something and be like, that's good graphic design, that's not good. But boy, am I terrible at graphic design. Like I try to make my own carousels in Canva sometimes. And every time I look at them, I'm like, oh gosh, this is like, so not good. This is so elementary. So I have a designer who can design my carousels for me. Those are the main members of my team who have helped me out now. But I love that you brought up this idea of reposting content. And this is probably the biggest mind-blown moment that a lot of people have when I talk about how I'm able to post so frequently. Because it sounds good on paper to post a lot, but then when you actually get into it, it's super anxiety-producing and stressful. About 80% of my posts are reposts, like literally taking something from a few months ago and posting it again, or recreations of something from the past. So if you reverse that math, that means that only about 20% of my posts require new effort or a lot of effort or a new idea or something fresh. 8 out of 10 of my posts are just something from the past that I'm putting a new bow on, I'm re-presenting, I'm changing the caption, or literally like just taking it from a few months ago and posting it again. Now, of course, when someone's like just getting started, that's a lot tougher to do because you don't have posts from a few months ago. But that speaks to the consistency that every marketer ever has talked about, which is like, if you keep posting, then a few months from now, it's going to be easier, not just because you're going to have practice, you're going to have systems, it's going to be simpler, all those things, but also it's going to be easier because you have posts from the past that you can just pull from and repost. So yeah, that's a huge, huge, huge game changer for me in allowing me to post more, but not have to necessarily work harder or work more.
And I love that we're talking about this. And I want to just dive into like a tactic because I can hear my listeners probably asking themselves this. They're like, okay, so when you say you repost it, do you literally keep the raw file of the reel that was made? Most likely the audio is not going to be on there. Mm-hmm. And then you just repost that? Or is it something that like, because if you go to Instagram now and try to save a reel from the past, it's going to give you the Instagram watermark on there. So do you advise people to, at the same time that you're creating content, like create an archive bank, save the raw files of what you're creating so you can use that to repurpose in the future?
1000%. Yes. Apple just came out with the new update where you can go up to like 2 terabytes of storage on iCloud. And I was immediately like, heck yes, I need that because I have everything saved in my camera roll. Everything, every story I've ever posted on Instagram saved to my camera roll. Every reel saved to my camera roll. Looking at it right now, and this is after I did a big cleanup, I have 125,000 pictures and videos in my camera roll on my phone. But that's just like the raw random clips on my phone. I also have a Google Drive and a Dropbox where I store all of the like finished content, all of the polished reels, all of the edited videos, all of the carousels. I have hundreds of reels and photos and carousels and graphics that I can, just pull from. So if I'm like, hey, this posted really good in August, it's now February, my audience has definitely forgotten about this by now, but I want to post about this topic again, I can just go into Dropbox, download it, and repost it. If people don't, they haven't gotten into that habit yet of saving everything they post and putting it into some sort of cloud storage system, there's 2 websites, very similar name though, and they are websites. It's very confusing because they end in .app. So one is Snap Insta, S-N-A-P, Snap Insta, I-N-S-T-A, .app. So Snap Insta .app, that will allow you to download, I believe now, anything you've posted on Instagram. It used to be just like you put in the link to your reel and then it will allow you to download it. Now you can be your reels, your photos, your carousels. And for TikTok, because sometimes people will take their posts from TikTok and post them to Instagram, it's Snap Tick. So Snap and then T-I-K. .app. And it is a website, not an app. People always get confused because it's .app. But yeah, so use those. And if you go to the website, and this happens all the time, you go to that website and it says like, not available, or this site is down, just Google the term Instagram Reels downloader or TikTok downloader. You'll find 50 websites. And all you have to do is just pop in the link to the original post and it will download. And this is the key. It will download without the watermark. So you mentioned, Julie, oftentimes people post with that like little logo of their Instagram or the TikTok logo. You do not want that because A, it just like looks inauthentic. It's a signal to your audience that it is a repost. Like, we don't need to be shouting from the rooftops that this is a repost. Some people will naturally catch, but most people don't care that it is a repost. But if you're like shouting out them, glaring in their face, this is a repost, it might cause some people to be like, and then also just the biggest one is the algorithms don't like when you have that logo. So try to avoid that if you can.
My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers, and you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. Go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion. My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow. You need to scale. You need a marketing strategy. You need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff. And it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
Oh, great, great takeaways. So good. I know the audience is going to love that. I would love to go back to a little bit of what you said earlier, where you were talking about when you really niched down, because your niche was Instagram. Your niche was Instagram strategy. Your niche was Instagram growth, but that can mean a lot of things and you can go a lot of different ways with that. But when you finally went to like the niche within the niche of I am going to focus on growing on Instagram, not selling on Instagram, not this on Instagram, not whatever. And even though I know that you're a strategist, so you can talk shop about those, all of those things all day long if you wanted to, but you were like, I want to specialize in this thing. I want to be known as the go-to for this thing. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case for how you approach the strategy? Or once that you kind of became known for that, did it allow you to kind of expand a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of think of this like a tree. And if you try to, when you're first getting started, when you're just that little seedling, branch out in all these different directions, and you're going to talk about all the interests and passions and hobbies and everything that makes you tick and everything that makes you unique, well, then you never actually grow up into this big, beautiful tree that can be seen from miles away and that can withstand the test of time and be there hundreds of years later. Instead, you're just this little shrub, this little bush on the ground. You never built that solid, singular foundation. But instead, when you start with that niche and you niche down, you can become known for one subject. And then as you become known, you can talk about all the other things. You can talk about what makes your freak flag fly. You can talk about all the interests and passions and hobbies because you built this strong trunk and then you branched out. Then you became the tree. So yes, to your point, when I first started, it was only Instagram growth strategies. And now it's broadened to be able to talk about everything that encompasses having a successful business on Instagram. So sales and engagement and stories and content and AI and automations and all of those things. And now it's starting to bleed into other areas of outside of Instagram, building an email list, building a community, having multiple podcasts. And now I've even started to add in the other things, and this is still very minor, but I've added in the other things that are me and that are my passions and that I am fired up about, like snowboarding, like my dogs, like my wife, like our new pet bird who shows up in some of my content, those little things, Pokemon cards, which is something that I like rediscovered recently that I loved from my childhood. I've incorporated that into my content. And so there's fun little ways that I can still stick to my overarching umbrella of having a successful business on Instagram, but I can sprinkle in the little things that make me me. And it's a lot more accepted by my audience because they already know me and they already like me. They already love me for the thing that they originally showed up for. And now they're just getting to learn more about the whole me.
That's so good. Thank you so much for that takeaway. Okay, so I have to ask you a question that I'm sure people ask you all the time. But for those people that are listening right now that are like, okay, I feel like in a lot of ways I'm just getting started. Even though I may have been at this for a while, I've been spinning my wheels, I'm not getting any traction, I'm not growing, or I'm at this pivot. And so it's like I'm no longer doing what I was doing last year and I'm now doing this. So if someone was feeling as if they were getting started clean and fresh today, what would you recommend them focusing on, strategizing about, investing in, and doing?
Yeah, great question. So I would start with the thing that I've said 50 million times, which is your niche. Like, start with a crystal clear, super hyper specific idea of who are you talking to? Like, what is that person you're trying to attract? And I believe that you should get it so specific that you can literally picture one person, whether they're a real person that you know in the real world or it's someone who you're kind of imagining. Like, get it down to just one singular person. I can think of my person right now. I know her name. I know exactly who I'm talking to. And then the second thing is not just, of course, the who, but the what. So what are you going to be talking to them about? That's usually the thing that's a little bit easier for people. But again, super hyper specific. So with my case, Instagram growth strategies, just that, nothing else. If it wasn't going to help you grow on Instagram. So that's the first step. Then, of course, we got to set up the profile and optimize it correctly. And I should kind of pause myself right here and say, starting a new account can be very, very scary, but it can oftentimes be so necessary and beneficial because so many of us have had our accounts for 8 years. And during those 8 years, we've changed niches 8 times and we've tried to get consistent with this thing. And then we decided to have an Etsy shop for a little bit. And now we're doing digital marketing. And then we did this thing for a little bit. And then we became just like a fan page of our daughter for a little bit. And so we've amassed these followers who are all interested in different things. And now you're going to be focusing on just one thing. And so you're kind of like eliminating all those other buckets of followers. Like, they're not going to care what you're posting about. Or you bought followers 8 years ago because you didn't realize it was a bad thing at that time, or you got tricked into doing it, or you did some other inorganic growth strategy. So for whatever reason, there are many possible upsides to starting a new account. So once you have your niche, maybe you have a new account or you're just kind of starting fresh with the current account because you're just new anyways. The second thing is, of course, optimizing the profile. Once we know what the business is going to be about, we got to make the storefront and the window display look pretty so that people actually want to come in and visit. Of course, there's the basic things that we can all think of, like the username, having a really engaging profile picture. But then there's two things that I think a lot of people overlook. One is the Instagram, I call it the Instagram title, but really it's your Instagram name. And it's the bold text that's right below your username. And most people, because it's called an Instagram name, they just put their name. But that is a directly searchable line. That's not like a line that helps people find you. No, that is literally when people search on Instagram, Instagram will look at that line to decide if you're going to come up as a result. So what I tell people to do is go ahead and put your name on that line. Like, you can put Brock or Brock Johnson, but then add a hyphen and add a title for your account, something that would be searchable that would allow people to discover you. And this is where you kind of have to walk that line of being generic enough that people actually would search for that term, but specific enough that you would actually come up as a result. Like, for example, today I was talking to a student and his title line said video creator. And I said, that's good because you thought of a title, but video creator isn't specific. Like, what kind of videos? Like,
what about kind of what? Video creator?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what kind of content? And are you helping me create videos? Are you showing me? Like, what's going on here? Because it's 2024. Grandma Melvin, my mom's mom, is a video creator. She posts reels and stories all the time. Marge is wonderful with her video creation. So I started talking to him more, and he does a lot of snowboarding edits and teaching people specifically how to create snowboarding videos like at home for themselves. And so I was like, just add the word snowboarding. So like snowboarding video creator or snowboard editing teacher or snowboard editing coach, something like that. Because now you're walking that line of telling people what you're about. And that is a searchable term. Like, I bet people go on Instagram and search like snowboard video, snowboard editing, but you're not so generic that you're kind of just getting lumped in with the masses. So that's the first thing that I think a lot of people don't even know exists and don't even know they should think about. And the second is the bio itself. Now, of course, everyone knows the bio exists. Everyone adds things to the bio, but most people treat their bio like the first day of class, when it's like, please say your name, your age, where you're from, and a fun fact about you. And it's like, I don't care about all of that. I'm coming to your Instagram for one reason, whatever the niche is, whatever the topic is that you're going to be focused on. So that's what your bio needs to say. I don't care that you're a Virgo, that you're a fur baby, mom of two, that you're a wine lover. I don't care about any of that. I care about what can you do for me. As a potential follower, I need to know what to expect from your page, or else I'm not going to follow, or else I'm going to think, hey, the post that drew me to your page in the first place was a great post, but I can't expect more of that from you. I can't expect that every time. That was just kind of like a one-hit wonder. So that needs to be described clearly in your bio. And then to get super granular and specific, your bio shouldn't be more than four lines, because if it goes onto the fifth, sixth, seventh line, Instagram cuts it off and it will just say dot, 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 more. And like, imagine you were driving by a billboard on the freeway and there was like four lines of text. Then it was like, oh, and then you got to like screenshot this and then dot, 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 more. It's got to be crystal clear. It's got to be like yelling in your face. And that's how people treat our bios. They're looking at them for about 3 seconds. If you're driving by a billboard on the freeway, you're going to see it for about 3 seconds. So crystal clear, one or two sentences, four lines maximum, telling us why we should follow you. Like, what should we expect from your account? Once you have that set up, first we have the niche, second we have the profile, then it just comes down to posting consistently. And of course, there's a million different strategies and different techniques we can talk about within like what makes a good post, how much should you post, all of those other things. But really, that's the one, two, three. Yeah. Yeah.
You have something great that can help people with that. So you've got, you offer a lot of just incredible free trainings and programs and offers so people can really dive into your world. But you were telling me about one specifically before we came on that I think this audience would love. And it's about creating that viral, good, juicy, healthy content. So if content creation is something that our listeners have a hard time with, you got some good ways to help them kind of get to there faster. So I'd love if you would share that link.
Totally. Yeah. So we have tons of different like little free downloads and stuff. This one specifically is, I wanted to do a study because hooks are so important, right? Hooks are how you get people to watch. There's a reason that someone clicked on this podcast today. First, the title hooked them in. Then they listened to the first like minute or so and they're like, I'm hooked. And so now here they are, however many minutes later, still listening to me blabber on. And that's true on Instagram too, with your reels, with your captions, with your carousels, there's got to be a hook to grab people's attention. So with that in mind, I did a study of, I think it was like 300 or 400 viral posts on both TikTok and Instagram reels. And I just pulled out the hook that they use, the first one or two sentences, the phrase that they use at the beginning to grab people's attention. And then I put it into a list of the top 25 most viral hooks. So that's the freemium. It's again, totally free to download. If people want that, I don't know what the link is exactly, but I'll give it to you so we can put it in the show notes. It's also available on my Instagram. So if anyone goes to my Instagram handle, they'll see a highlight that says 25 viral hooks. They can also DM me the word 25 hooks, and then I'll send it to them right there in the DMs. But and it's also in the link in my bio, I believe as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can grab it.
And we're going to have it in the summary notes for you all. Cool. Just to tap and get straight to it. So we're good there. Okay. So before we pop off, I can't let you go without asking you about the talk of tick, also known as TikTok. I mean, this could be a whole other episode, to be honest, but specifically what I want to ask about is in 2024, kind of going back to how I started this podcast, in the landscape that we're in, how do you see the growth strategy differences between Instagram, which you've already shared, and TikTok? What are the differences? And then what are potentially some of the similarities or just ways that someone could start to put some time and energy toward both platforms and actually see a good return on their time investment?
Totally. Such a great question. They are extremely different platforms, despite what everyone says about Instagram copying TikTok. They're the same exact thing. They're very different platforms. TikTok is actually trying to compete with YouTube more than they're trying to compete with Instagram. And I think, I haven't been in any board meetings with TikTok, but I would assume their thought is people are on their phones consuming. That's where we consume the majority of our content. I don't remember the exact stat, but it's like over 80% of content is consumed on the phone. Yet, YouTube isn't really designed for phone / mobile consumption. They're trying to get into that space with YouTube Shorts, but really, like, I personally, I'll watch YouTube on like my dual monitor or on my TV, but like watching YouTube on my phone is the silliest thing ever because it's you're watching this little postage stamp, or you gotta like swipe down and press unlock and then you can turn it sideways. It's that whole thing. But TikTok recognizes this, I believe, and they're trying to compete with YouTube by really promoting long form videos and longer than 12 seconds, like we were talking about with Reels. TikTok is specifically promoting videos that are over a minute or a minute and a half long. There was actually this great report that just came out this week of this new program that TikTok is running where they're incentivizing people to post not only the over 1 minute videos, but the videos that are horizontal, like landscape, like turn your phone sideways type of videos, which are so not native to TikTok, so not native to mobile consumption. Yet that's what's working and that's what TikTok is pushing. So that's the first big distinction between Instagram and TikTok. Also kind of what's working on TikTok right now. Really long form videos that are 1, 2, 3. I mean, the majority of people can now go up to 10 minutes. Some people can go up to 30 minutes on TikTok. So that's one key difference. Another huge difference specifically in the content on Instagram and TikTok is Instagram is all about the hyper edits. Like when you watch Instagram content, and at least right now, this could definitely change as user behavior and habits and preferences change. But right now on Instagram, you see a lot of the, lots of edits, cuts, transitions, really almost obnoxious closed captioning. There's a B-roll behind you. You're on a green screen. There's like all this stuff. Where on TikTok, they want you to just whip out your phone, start recording, and post like right there from within the TikTok app. So one way that I have been doing this myself is I will take the same idea that I'm posting about on Instagram and I'll just record a rougher version for TikTok, knowing that it doesn't have to be passed off to my editor, Hannah, knowing that it doesn't have to go through all these checks and edits and balances and all of this stuff. Instead, I can take the same thing that I post about on Instagram and just record like a kind of imagining like I'm FaceTiming a friend on TikTok. And I can be a little bit more long-winded and I can talk a little bit slower and I can not worry about any transitions or fancy edits and it will actually perform better on TikTok. So those are the first key things that I would say in terms of the differences. And then the other big difference, and this is the final one that I'll say that should hopefully should be a word of encouragement for everyone, is the algorithms. So the Instagram algorithm is what is called a social-based algorithm, meaning that Instagram cares about your social network. Like think all the way back to if anyone saw like the Facebook movie or like the early days of Facebook, Zuckerberg created Facebook as a way to interact with friends. And it was all about your social ties and your social network. And, you know, I know this person knows that person. And so on Instagram, the algorithm very much cares about the people you follow. What are they watching? The friends that you have, what are they doing? The people who you just followed, what do they post about? It cares about all of these social net, these social ties. Whereas on TikTok, it's what's called a content-based algorithm. So on TikTok, they don't really care how many followers you have. They don't care who you follow. They just care what kind of content do you like. And that's why we hear things like, I'm on book talk, which means you're on a side of TikTok that talks a lot about books, or I'm on dog talk, or I'm on snowboarding talk. You're on these different sides of TikTok where you're getting consistently fed this kind of content. That's why if you search a couple Taylor Swift videos because you're like, oh, what's the latest drama about the Super Bowl? And then you search Taylor Swift and then you watch like 4 Taylor Swift videos. The rest of your day, your TikTok page is just Taylor Swift video, because they think that's the kind of content you're looking for. And this should be a word of encouragement to anyone listening, because it doesn't matter if you have 300 or 300,000 followers on TikTok. If you're making the content consistently that people want to see, the people who want to see it will see it.
Oh yeah, that's so, so good. And I think it also kind of lets us off the hook a little bit about, you know, I hear a lot, I don't know if you hear it, Brock, but people get burnt out by TikTok because they're like, well, even if I had a lot of videos go viral, I'm not growing a community there. It's hard to get people off that platform to like, come and join my webinar or buy this product or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because it's a content first platform.
Yeah.
And so I think that if we can just learn to accept that, it kind of, it like lets us off the hook of like trying to build a community over there, because it's not really what it's about. Like build the community on Instagram, create the quality content, and like run that content machine on TikTok. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, like use TikTok. Like if we think of like, you know, the funnel of our business, TikTok is like the highest level of the funnel where it's like just eyeballs, attention, people finding you. But like you said, the majority of your TikTok audience will probably not become customers. They probably won't show up for that webinar. They probably won't buy the product. But if you can get them from TikTok to an email list or from TikTok to Instagram, which is what a lot of people do, then you can kind of help them take that next step.
To me, it's really about, you know, Instagram's probably a better place for connection, community building, and conversion, mm-hmm. whereas TikTok is better for awareness.
I absolutely agree.
And just the content creation piece and building that bank. So absolutely. I think that's great. I just took a ton of internal notes and like little things that I was tacking along. For those that are listening, you know how we do. If you had any insights today, any ahas, any big takeaways, Brock and I love to hear what those are. I think I can speak for you to say that you love connection, you love community, you want to hear from my people. So any big takeaways today, aha moments, we want to know what those are. So all you got to do is screenshot today's episode, tag us in that. We're going to see it in our DMs and we want to know what those biggest takeaways are because that's going to allow us to connect with you, support you, make sure that you get what you need and continue to create the valuable content that is going to help you move forward. So with that, Brock, and this is all going to be in our show notes as well, please let everybody know where they can find you, where they can follow you and just get more resources with all of the great support that you have out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to just take a second and say thank you so much for having me on. This was a pleasure. I'm glad we finally got to connect and I could come on the show. The best place to find me is myspace.com/Brockna. It's Brock 11 Johnson across all socials, but not MySpace. I also don't think I'm on Tumblr. I don't even know if Tumblr still exists, but Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all of those. Brock 11 Johnson is my username, and that's the best place to get connected.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much again for just pouring your wisdom and your goodness into this amazing community. I know that they're going to love this episode, and I can't wait to get their feedback. So thank you again for being here.
Awesome.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.